Are we on 25? This is like monumental if we're on 25.
Oh God, I don't even. I think it's 25.
Yep, yeah. Half a century. Hooray! Or no, fuck me.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to very special episode 25. Not because we have the cool guests, but because it's episode 25. It sounds like a big deal of the Game Plan podcast by gamers. Yes, -association.com or just Gamers Association if you want to say it like that. But I am your host, Luke Frazier, as always, here with last week's crew, Curtis Stone right there.
Hi.
There he is. And we got some Cameron Wassman right here.
Yeah, we could just start calling the site GA or something, be like IGN.
Dude, I totally call it GA to people. I've totally done that.
Word.
I like it. It's easy. And before we get into anything, we've had a request by Ridge, other staff writer. We need to go into the Cameron Wassman moving update 2013.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I nothing's updated really.
No update.
I'm taking a bus to Portland in about 4 days. Yeah, 4 days. And we're going down there, looking at places, and then I'm coming back. And then who knows how long I'll be here, but it'll probably be like a month or so. And then I'm moving down, so there's no rush on the whole moving thing. I'm not gonna be.
Okay. So Portland Watch 2013 is has not moved since last week, but this time next week we might have an update.
I actually will be in Portland this time next week.
Oh man!
Oh boy! We'll have a bus ride story and everything.
Yeah,
a whole thing.
And
I'll have no computer, so that should be interesting on how I'll be on the podcast.
All the listeners will just be edge of their seats, like, I wonder what Cameron's doing right now. He could be anywhere.
Riding a bus for 6 hours.
Fuck that.
Oh, man. You're going to meet some people. Keep those headphones on.
That's definitely a good trick to follow when any sort of downtown is always have headphones and sunglasses. Oh, because you can't look anyone in the eye and they can't talk to you.
Man.
Yeah.
That's how I like up here in Minnesota. That's how like I operate all through winter on campus, or when I was still in college, I guess. Like, I'm like, I'm just cold. I don't want anyone to talk to me. I'm just mad and I want to get inside somewhere. So anytime I walk, it's like sunglasses, headphones, don't talk to me at all.
Yeah. I feel like those are just universal signs. Don't talk to that person. They're
on drugs. That's why they're hiding.
And then when somebody does, it's just the worst. It's just like immediate bad feelings towards this person. Like, how
like they've got to just like wave their hand in front of your face. Like, hey, why would you?
This better be important.
All right, but unlike the sounds of things, this is actually a video game podcast, believe it or not, and we are here to talk about some video games. Curtis, man, you just finished a video game. You just reviewed a video game.
I just reviewed a video game. Again, not for you guys, unfortunately.
Right, but still a good video game.
It is. It was a very, very, yes. Dragon's Crown, PS3 Vita. It's a sort of hack and slash, beat 'em up type game, random loot drops, stuff like that. But I feel more people are talking about it for the wrong reasons, which I guess we'll get into later. But the game itself, it's solid. It is very enjoyable. It's got a really interesting online aspect that I think I talked about, where if your bones are dropped amongst a dungeon, your online friend can then pick them up and bring them into your game. What else? It's not overly hard, but they have a level cap on normal that you stop at 35, and then you get hard mode, which increases it up to 65, and then when you beat that mode, you increase it up to level 99 called Inferno. So there's a lot of gameplay. The particular email I got said to beat everything in the game take about 120 hours for all characters. So
that's hefty. So I imagine that there's got to be more to that combat than just like your old arcade side-scroller beat-em-ups. Is there? Because, I mean, I feel like when I've played those old games like on consoles, I've just gotten bored with them like after like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, because that's usually like the very max of how long you'd play these things at the arcade. Does it feel kind of like tedious after a while, or does it feel like, do they do enough to keep it fresh?
Well, they do. It's because it is like a beat 'em up, it easily could be seen as just a small dose type game. You maybe play it for 30, 45 minutes and you sort of step away and come back. But obviously when you're reviewing it, you have to just trudge through it. So there's no chance of stepping away. Mm. There's no real depth to the combat. You do unlock certain skills and extra powers as you develop, if you so choose. I was playing as the fighter, so it was very basic combat. It was up square, down square, and then just bash square to melee everything. Then the circle was sort of like a small area of attack that would take anything out, just a really strong super attack. Mm-hmm. Playing as the wizard briefly, there's a lot more depth to him as far as just basic combat, because you're on a mana system. And everything is long range, so you have to make sure you're preserving your attacks and they're actually hitting. Otherwise, you have to wait to recharge before you can attack again. So there's definitely more strategy there than there is would be the fighter or the dwarf character. So there is a lot to the game, but not on a level of like, what's a similar idea? It's not like a Diablo-sized skill tree or anything like that. It's very basic.
Okay.
So it's if you're looking for something that has depth as far as skills and level grinding and just increasing your character to be the most powerful, you're not going to find it here, but you are going to find a solid dungeon crawler, especially if you're going to be playing it with friends. You know, if you want something like Castle Crashers, this is going to be a great game for something like that.
The whole like, I wonder how much like Castle Crashers it is.
It's not as comical as far as like the storytelling goes. It's more serious for the most part, but it's still like, get your friends together and just beat the shit out of everything that comes at you.
And everyone loves a little bit of that.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah, you've been deep into anything else, or has that taken up most of your time?
Doing that and video content pretty much took up most of my time last week, so now I'm kind of at a lull, so I'm gonna see if I can find something to pick me up and carry me until maybe Saints Row 4 comes out. Or,
oh man, how close are we to that?
August 20th, only just a couple weeks away.
Oh my gosh, that's
so excited.
It's gonna be a revolution. Cameron, what's carrying you, Cameron?
Well, mostly Bioshock Infinite again, because that whole Clash in the Clouds thing, I wanted to go through and just do all of that that I could possibly do.
Right, you got to do that. That we had a day run review on that bad boy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very nice. People like those.
What's the length on that? A couple hours?
Well, I mean, it's just four maps with 15 waves each. So you could finish it in an hour if you're quick.
Okay.
It's not story content at all. It's strictly just dudes to shoot.
When is the story DLC that's supposed to happen?
Not till next year.
They haven't put any yet. There's
seriously?
No,
yeah, it's a 2014 thing.
On it or anything.
Yeah. Oh my.
I know. And just to keep everybody updated, Ken Levine on, I don't know if it was like Monday or Tuesday, was kind of sending out hints, and then all of a sudden, whoa, Bioshock Infinite's got some DLC out, and it's, I don't know. A lot of people, I think, had like the sentiment of, oh man, it's just Horde mode for now, because they promised this cool stuff that's a Burial at Sea? Is that the name of it?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Right, which is like a two-part DLC, kind of alternate reality kind of thing.
Yeah, set in Rapture.
Right, cool. Set in Rapture.
Really cool. Oh, speaking of that, I feel like it kind of took the impact away from it. But after I had, you know, I'd finished all of the maps on Clash in the Clouds, and I wrote the review and I posted it, and then I went back in, and when it dropped me in the little hub building, normally Elizabeth would just wander around and go and look at paintings or whatever. Yep. But she like ran off down the hall. So I'm like, that's weird. Why is she running away? And I run down. She goes into the main museum part, and there's a new tear, like in the middle of the room.
Huh.
And I hadn't seen that one before. And it's a water puddle. So I open the tear, and out jumps a splicer from Bioshock 1. And
what?
He runs at me, and I shoot him, and the screen cuts to black, and it sends me to the main menu. And I was like, holy shit.
What?
Oh, that's a cool little teaser. That's awesome.
And if they hadn't already revealed Burial at Sea, I would have just lost my shit even more.
That would actually have been a lot cooler if right. they had just done it that way.
That is awesome.
He should have waited a day.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take a long time to finish the thing, so people would have been finding this splicer
right.
and losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been that whole like internet rumor starting up. Yeah. Hey, are we going back to Rapture? Oh my god, that's awesome.
But he spoiled it before everyone even got a chance to. It
yeah, was I feel like it's damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, though. Because if they would have just announced, like, okay, we got Horde mode, like, I feel there would have been a lot of anger online.
Yeah,
like,
for sure. Like, everyone would have been mad for, like, a few hours until someone would have posted the video of the splicer, and they'd be like, wait, what does this mean?
Yeah, that's
we cool. forgive you!
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I didn't really like the combat in Infinite too much, though, so I don't have much interest in it. Which is good, because that means that I wasn't screwed out of buying the season pass, because I'm not going to need to... Yeah, I'm going to buy the other two, probably.
I'll just wait for the Game of the Year edition that has all of it.
Oh yeah, have you played the base game?
15.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've played the base game. Okay. That was actually the very first thing I'd ever read boxed. Sorry, Ken Levine, you're not getting my $60. You can have my $4.
Right. Well, I think I only paid like $40 or something for it. Yeah. I don't know. It was.
It's okay. Redbox paid for it.
Yeah. Man, I speaking of Redbox, I see those now when people like print out a cop like what the disc looks like, and it's like just a piece of paper. That's so bad.
That's so
dirty.
Who
are these people?
Bad.
If you're listening to this and you do that, shame on you.
Shame.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bioshock is awesome. Because then Burial at Sea. Am I right that the second one, episode 2, is going to start the Burial at Sea? That's going to be Booker. But then you're going to play as Elizabeth in the third one.
And he said, Ken Levine said it's going to be more survival horror and less combat. Which is awesome. I loved how scary. Like, I actually went back to Bioshock 1, and it was a lot spookier than I remembered. Like, there was a lot of dark rooms and ghosts, and especially that whole thing with Steinman, the plastic surgeon. That whole part of the game was just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Man, I remember getting scared. I think it was in the first Bioshock, when there were, like, mannequins. A bunch of mannequins, and... some of them are splicers that are hiding as mannequins. Oh, that just freaks me out.
Good stuff.
Woo! That's a scary game. Man, I love that game. Bioshock's so good. Go play Bioshock.
Play Bioshock if you haven't.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, anything you've been playing besides that? Seems like you dumped a ton of hours into that bad
boy. Oh, no, not really. I played a little bit of Payday the Heist, but it's not very fun alone. So I pretty much did half of one heist, then died and called it quits there.
I'm curious how the second one's going to do now that it's a bigger retail game.
It seems a lot better. From what I've heard, the shooting's a lot better. I haven't been able to drop the money on the Career Criminal Edition and getting into the beta and anything, which is kind of a bummer. But yeah, from what I've seen, it is what Payday should be. It's kind of like Borderlands 2, Borderlands style, you know. The second one comes out and it's like, oh, that's what they're going for.
So that's what they initially tried.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that they have money.
Speaking of Borderlands 2, that's all I've been playing, pretty much.
Wow.
I bought it a few weeks ago when Best Buy had it for like $10, and nice. I hadn't played it. But then my buddy and I were sitting around, and we're like, we have nothing to do. I forgot I had Borderlands. Let's check her out.
Are you playing it on console?
Yeah, on console split screen, because my laptop cannot handle. But it's okay. It took like an hour. And to get kind of used to, like, okay, I don't have any screen real estate whatsoever. And, man, they still have the thing from Borderlands 1 where, like, you open up your little menus or whatever to edit your, like, inventory or see a map, and you can't see the whole thing. Like, you have to scroll it because it doesn't fit. They don't, like, have
really?
It fit. Yeah, they don't have, like, the menu, like, fit the screen, your little screen. So you have to use, like, the right stick and, like,
to when you're in split screen?
Yeah.
I'm like, I haven't noticed any of that because I have it on PC, right? My friend had it on the PS3, and I have this big, bulky, standard def TV piece of crap behind me, and we're playing split screen on that. You couldn't even see what was going on.
Yeah, like, it's
everything was so blurry, it was just impossible to even...
Yeah, but that game, as much as it feels like, yep, this is more Borderlands, and even at this point part, I'm like overall kind of disappointed because from, I don't know, we put in like 4 or 5 hours just straight, and all the reviews and stuff that I had read where they were all like, oh yeah, it's like it's like Borderlands but better, and like they give you more of a reason to like be fighting, because in the first one it was like there's a vault and you should probably open it sometime and that's it. But I don't feel any, like, I feel like David like said jack in this thing. Like, they're just like, okay, you're on this ice planet, let's follow Claptrap.
Yeah. Handsome Jack's funny. Listen to him for a couple hours.
Yeah. Listen to these people.
More Butt Stallion, and you know.
But yeah, but then on, you know, in the same token, I put 5 hours into it and we didn't move, so I can't.
Yeah.
It's not like it's bad. Like
there's something special.
Yeah. It's definitely pretty, and that's probably what I'm gonna do. Like right after I finish this podcast, is play some more Borderlands 2. But yeah, Borderlands 2. Pretty fun with people. Oh my gosh, and I never played the first Borderlands with anybody else. I just went solo.
Oh my god, how did you get through that game?
I didn't finish it. That's probably
you can't.
I dropped off at like probably like 12 hours, but now this game is way better when you got people.
That was my problem, is with the first Borderlands I was playing it solo and I was like, I'm not enjoying this. And then I hooked up with a couple friends that had played it like a dozen times, so they knew what they were doing. And of course that was a curse as well, because they've played it so many times, they're just running through everything, not letting me get any idea of what is happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like blazing through everything, getting all these guns that I have no idea what they do or why I should be using them. And then maybe like 10 hours after, I was like, I can't do this, guys. You guys are ruining this for me. So like, if you're going to play it, maybe play it with someone who hasn't played it a lot, mm-hmm. or is maybe playing it for the first time too. Not someone who's just so advanced that they kind of kill the mood for you.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, that was my experience.
That's how I'm doing it. I played the original Borderlands, like I said. The dude I'm playing it with had played the original Borderlands, but we hadn't played any of two. And like we play it pretty slowly. Like we try to look at everything, go everywhere before we move on. And but still, like, it definitely takes a hit of like even following like dialogue and stuff when you have multiple people. Like I have no idea half the things that people are saying. Like, they show you some subtitles, but it just seems like I'm just distracted the whole time, and I'm not really paying attention. But yeah, it's definitely still the way to play it. Which I don't know. I was kind of thinking about that when, like, how much do you have to take that into account? Like, when you, because I didn't review Borderlands 2. I think Nick did. But how much do you have to take that into account? Because like this game, I feel like if you just reviewed it playing by yourself or just reviewed it with people, I feel like it would get two different scores of how much fun you have out of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of games are a lot more fun when you're playing with other people. Like, I had fun playing Operation Raccoon City, that really terrible Resident Evil game. Right. I had fun because I had three of my friends, and we're all going through and just wondering at how terrible it was. It was great. I mean... My friend spent $150 on the 4-pack for it, which is absolutely insane.
Jeez.
But he's got all of the disposable income in the universe, so...
Well, good for him.
Wow, are you living with
him? Nice. And we went in and we played through, like, half of it. We actually got to a point where we had to go through a door and it wouldn't open, so the game ended. What? And then that was it. We never played again.
Good old Resident Evil, huh?
Thanks, Capcom.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, but I don't know. Things like that. I don't know how you handle it. I guess it's kind of just like looking at the entire package of like, well, I guess when you review like a Call of Duty, you can't really just say like, well, the single player is this score, but the multiplayer is awesome or something like that.
Yeah.
I think like in a Call of Duty scenario, you could essentially do two scores, but then in the end average them together.
Okay.
Because they are a complete package. Whereas like, you know, like if the single player is a 7, but the multiplayer is a 9, it would be an 8. You know, but you obviously through your review, you have to express why this got an 8. And I feel as long as you say why and you open the review saying, all right, so we did it this way, we're going to combine the scores. But then, so you can do it, but like, it's like a Grand Theft Auto type game, like one of those big open sandbox games. That's, and anything with like an MMO or sandbox, those types of games are going to be, for me, two of the most daunting genres to have to review. Because unless you get that copy early, you are going to be spending so much time just in that world, exploring every bit, getting through the story, but still taking enough time to get everything, like and to understand how this game works. Is it broken? Is it this? And it's like... That's just so much to take in, and like, I don't want to do it.
I reviewed a couple of them. I reviewed Defiance and I reviewed.
That's terrifying.
Heroes. Yeah, it's just what was your process for that?
Marvel Heroes was actually really not that difficult.
Yeah, because that's more like it's
kind
Diablo.
Of like reviewing Diablo, but there are other people running around. Like, <Yeah. laughs> that game was pretty standard, and Defiance was a little bit more of a task, but. I actually reviewed that for a different site. Yeah, that wasn't for Gamers Association. Weird. That's the only thing I've ever done that wasn't for Gamers Association.
That's fine. Keep your head.
Oh God, I'm sorry. I didn't. Yeah, I actually don't really remember all that much. All I remember is sitting there with WordPad open for like 6 hours and just being like, God. Like just like writing things down and then holding down the backspace key and until an entire paragraph was gone. It's like, okay, I don't think I want to review MMOs anymore.
And then you then you woke up 3 days later and there was a review there. Like, okay,
I'm playing in a field.
Right. But I think I might have brought this up on a past podcast long ago. So imagine, if you will, there's a scenario where a game comes out. We'll say Tomb Raider. We can use Tomb Raider because that's kind of a good example of what I'm saying. Tomb Raider reviewed really well earlier when it came out earlier this year. And I don't remember how the multiplayer really, how people thought about that. It seemed kind of like, oh, there's multiplayer, but no one's going to play it. Like,
it was bad.
I think there were hopes that it was going to be like good, like Uncharted good, because Uncharted apparently has awesome multiplayer. But Tomb Raider, I don't think anyone really got it. But like, let's imagine there's like a Tomb Raider-like game where it's definitely like a story-driven single-player game at its core, but they throw in a multiplayer mode. Say that multiplayer mode's like completely broken. Like, how would you review that game? Like, if it has a perfectly well-defined, completely fleshed-out single-player, say, and it doesn't seem like anything was like hampered in the single-player, so they could make room to develop the multiplayer stuff. But then the multiplayer is so bad that it's broken. Like, you can't even play it. Should that affect the review score? Like, because if you just play this game single-player, like, you're gonna have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Funny enough, that's the exact situation that I was in when I reviewed Tomb Raider.
Wow, no way.
I actually had that same thing. I was like, I wasn't sure what to do, because I'd never reviewed a game like that, where single player was all good, and then it had some Bioshock 2 multiplayer just thrown in there that sucked. And it's like...
So does that detract? Should that detract from the score?
I mean, I think my opinion on it changed afterwards, because when I was reviewing it, I thought, yeah, it's part of the game. Mm-hmm. It's part of the thing. They advertise it on the box. Mm-hmm. It should be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I docked half a star. Okay. And then I actually got feedback saying that, you know, why is it 3.5 stars when you say it's so much fun and... single player, and then I wasn't sure, and I don't even think I'm at a conclusion on it even now, where, you know, I don't know what to do if a game has really bad multiplayer but great single player, because that's weird. That's really weird to me.
I know. I guess you can kind of like flip it for something like a Call of Duty. Like, that multiplayer is just like, they know how to do it, but their single player, they kind of just like throw it away. And like we were saying earlier, like the single player might get like, I don't know, like a 6 if someone just reviewed that, but like a 9 if someone reviewed the multiplayer alone. Like, do you average them? Like, if the game is obviously made to be played online, like that's what they intend most people to do. Yeah. That's what they know most people to do. Like, how much do you take the other stuff into account if it doesn't really matter? Weird reviewer stuff. I don't know. I don't have an answer. Curtis, you have an answer? I don't know what to do.
Well, I like the way one of the more recent examples that someone handled this was for The Last of Us game trailers. When they reviewed that, they did not factor in the multiplayer. They said they were going to do a separate review for the multiplayer and do a standalone campaign review, which, you know, that's something that I've done in the past. I've done for was it Battle Block Theater was a game that I focused just on the campaign.
Okay.
And something else, but so I feel like, again, as long as you present your review with this is what it's based around, and it's not based around the entire game, it's based on a certain portion.
Right.
I feel you can kind of get away with going that way, but you have to say this is what you're doing, because if you go into your review and don't talk about the multiplayer, someone not in the know may say, well, they didn't talk about multiplayer, maybe it's not any good. Mm-hmm. So I think. I think you can do it that way. That's always an option. But on the course of where the multiplayer is the main aspect and the campaign is usually half-assed, like Call of Duty, that is a hard, that's a hard idea to sort of get around.
But I think I like your idea though of just make sure you talk about it. Like if I was to review like a Call of Duty game, which I wouldn't because I have no experience in that series whatsoever. but like I probably would say something like that if I felt like it was just like a thrown together worthless single player. If I'd probably just throw in like a paragraph of like, okay, the single player is okay, more than the paragraph. But still, like I'd say like, okay, this is the single player. This is what the single player is like. But if it was really bare bones, I'd just be like, okay, you don't have to worry about it. Like, sure, it's not that great, but this is, if you're playing it for the single player, it's like a completely different game, really. Yeah. I mean, it's a totally different game. So maybe it is the best idea to split them. And speaking of Graham trailers, did they ever get around to reviewing just the multiplayer?
I don't think they did a video review. They may have done a written review. I did not go back and check.
Yeah, because I follow their reviews pretty closely, and I didn't see it.
No, they're one of my favorite review sites.
Brandon Jones. He's got a good reviewer voice.
God, that voice.
Love it. And it's weird because I listen to Invisible Walls, and he sounds completely different when he's on.
Yeah.
Like he gets into his review mode. It's great. Good stuff. Game trailers. Love.
Great site. Great site.
Yeah, competitors. Go there.
Anyway. It's interesting when a game comes out and you have someone, you have like two different people review the game. Like one person does multiplayer, one person does single player. I think that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people do that in the past too, which I think that's fair.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right. Weird tangents. Anyway, so I played Borderlands 2. Yep. And then I bought, what else did I do? I bought Morrowind on Gamefly for like... Are you booing?
I am booing.
Why?
That is the worst Elder Scrolls game, okay. I'm sorry.
Every single place I look online, everyone says it's either Skyrim or Morrowind is the best Elder Scrolls.
They're wrong.
People hate Oblivion, comparatively. And then those early ones, they're like, we're not even consider these anymore.
Yeah, they don't factor in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Morrowind's a fine game. The problem for me was it was my very, like for most probably, it was the very first Elder Scrolls game that I had played. And I wasn't used to literally die rolling when I'm attacking someone. I'd never played Dungeons and Dragons and never played anything like that. So I didn't know what a percentage chance was. And I have this mud crab in front of me and I'm swinging my sword 20 times and I'm only hitting them once. That doesn't make sense to me. Whereas if I go to Oblivion, I swing it once, I hit. It's not a matter of just a chance hit. It's I swing and I'm in the vicinity of that person, I will hit them. So it's like...
Curious. I did not know this about Morrowind. I have not played Morrowind yet.
It's funny because I actually played Morrowind a ton when I was younger. Because, God, Morrowind came out when I was...
Long time ago.
Nine.
God.
Oof.
What is it? Xbox game? So 2001? 2002?
I think it was 2002 when it came out. Actually, I think it was 2001 on PC, 2002 on Xbox.
Yeah, it was a pretty early Xbox game.
Yeah, and I had no idea there was dice rolls. I was wondering why the combat in that game just sucked.
Yeah. I mean, like, magic always seemed to be, like, 100%, but, like, if you're doing any sort of melee, you just kind of keep swiping, and eventually they'll die, but... Way longer than
the cranky old men in their chairs going, Morrowind was the best Elder Scrolls.
and the thing I hated about Oblivion now, because I've not played Morrowind, but the reason why I didn't want to go into Skyrim, didn't want to go into Oblivion, is because I have a huge nitpick with RPGs that I cannot get across, that RPGs that do this. When they scale enemies, I hate it. I hate it so much because you cannot feel like a badass ever by grinding. I have that JRPG mentality of like, if I grind, I should be able to steamroll people. And you can't in Oblivion and Skyrim because everything scales. I hate that.
In Morrowind either.
You can. Yeah, you can because things don't scale in Morrowind.
I thought they do.
Nah, Morrowind
I saw a speed run where a guy was like glitching out and got it to the final boss and was able to take him out in no time.
I found a wiki that was like, these are the differences between the games, and one of them was not auto-scaling enemies, and that was the only reason I bought Morrowind. Also, told me it was really weird.
I feel like buying an Elder Scrolls game not on PC is a really bad idea.
Oh, absolutely. Because,
I mean, like, every criticism that I can come up with for an Elder Scrolls game can be solved in 2 seconds by searching on the Nexus and finding a mod to fix it.
Yep.
Which... Because scaling enemies, gone. I mean, I downloaded some mod a while back that actually got broke. I can't remember what it was called. But it, like, kind of made the combat like Dark Souls, where got hit, you just got wrecked, but your stamina bar was a lot more important.
Which, weirdly enough, though, I bought this on, from Gamefly, because they were having a super sale, plus like 20% off coupon or something, so it was like super cheap, $4. And even though Steam had it for like $5, I was like, I'll save a dollar.
I'll save a dollar. And I bought it. Was it DRM free?
It was not. Uh-oh. And I didn't. I knew that it wasn't going to open in Steam. It wasn't a Steam code like before. I knew that I was going to have to go through the Gamefly client. I didn't care. I already had it installed. They have like 7,000.
Saved a dollar.
Clients. But I was like, I'm saving a dollar. This is awesome. Little did I know that, although this doesn't bother me too much yet, but in the, when it sense because of the security ROM or whatever that crap is called on it, I don't know if it's actually security ROM, but whatever, you can't use mods. You can only play. Yeah.
You just bought a console version. Whoa. Yay!
This is what internet is telling me, that you cannot mod these copies that are coming from either GameSpot's download site or Gamefly's.
That is the worst.
So
that is really shitty.
I feel like I would be fine to spend an extra dollar and get that good old Steam copy.
Oh my god, absolutely. Yeah.
So now I'm going to be playing base game Morrowind and hopefully liking it. I was going to stream it the other day, and I was like, of course I'm going to be able to stream Morrowind. That game's ancient. So I downloaded this open-source game capture thing, which I really like. It's really simple. And I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's give it a test. So I tested it with Minesweeper, because I was like, I just want to make sure I know how to use this stuff. That worked. And so then I went into Morrowind. Dude, that just dropped so hard. I had everything on the lowest settings, and it was still like all jittery and screen tearing in my laptop. I'm just like, this guy is not made to play games. Not at all. Yeah.
How old is it?
When did I buy this? Probably like freshman or sophomore year. Probably like 4 years old. Something like that. But it wasn't like a gaming laptop when I bought it. It was just like a laptop for college.
Probably here's like, a Dell.
Yeah, probably like $500 new or something. I don't know.
The computer, not the singer. Is you a Dell.
Ba-doom. So that's what we've been playing. Yeah, but so I guess we can move on to this Dragon's Crown business, because that's been all hot over the internet. Nick's written about it. You were talking about it on Twitter. Everyone on the internet's written about it. Dragon's Crown's got some controversies.
That's the main problem, is everyone that's like getting up in arms is none of them have played it yet. I mean, like, obviously people in the industry have played it, and they're absolutely entitled to their opinions, but it's the people that are just reading those opinions and developing their opinions off what those people are telling them. And in some cases are being a very biased opinion. That's all that a lot of the people are getting, and that's all that they're hearing, and then that's all that they're accepting as truth. And then that's not the case at all. I absolutely disagree with a lot of the presentation around what people are saying about Dragon's Crown. Is it sexist? Maybe. Is it glorifying women in a situation and maybe sexualizing them too much? Yes, there are scenes where that happens. Does that affect the game in any way as far as gameplay? Absolutely not. You don't even have to play as those characters if the sorcerer's big bouncing boobs get in your way. You don't have to play as that character. If the Amazon's atrocious legs freak you out, you
they
do
freak
not have to play
oh,
as
God,
her.
They do.
Watching reviews, they're terrifying.
Everything on that body is wrong.
Everything.
And
they have abs on the inside of their thighs.
They have abs on their abs. It's just, it's ridiculous. Like, it's the proportions on everyone, not just the females, on everyone are absurd. But at the same time, the sorceress, her big boobs are literally popping out of her dress, and the Amazon is wearing nothing but a bikini, mm-hmm. top and bottom. So it's like, she probably could have been wearing more armor, but and I think, Luke, you had made mention of this, is that, yeah, she should probably be wearing more armor than this. Mm. But at the same time, any depiction that I've seen of an Amazon in any sort of fiction, they've always been that sort of basic depiction,
that agility,
you know, coconut tops and stuff, like, you know, they just need something to get them really quick through the jungles or wherever they are, so it's like it kind of fits.
I never thought about
I don't know who came up with that's the idea of an Amazon, so maybe they were sexist then, and we're still living in a old idea of it, but that's just kind of like the accepted depiction of that character. So it's like, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. And I think the accepted depiction thing is kind of how I see it is just like, Gabe, to me, it doesn't seem like they're doing this because they want people getting off on how hot these ladies look. It's like, right. No, this is like a throwback to like these old games and these old this like high fantasy stuff. And like, this is how high fantasy women have been depicted since they were created. Like,
oh yeah. I don't feel like the controversy is about that she's scantily clad. I think it's about that she looks like some weird muscle thing that's just like insultingly crazy looking to a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure the game's great, obviously, but I haven't played it. You know, I don't want to like jump in and say I have some like bad opinion of Dragon's Crown when I'm sure it's awesome. But yeah, just they look weird as hell.
They do, but like all the characters look weird, and I think that's part of the aesthetic is that if they wanted to do a true to life depiction, they could have. But it's a video game; it's a fantasy video game. It's kind of okay that it's these just garish looking things on screen.
Yeah,
there are some scenes these aren't by spoilers or any means, but there's like these moments when you go into a dungeon and as you're progressing the story, you'll sort of get different paths you can go on. And usually there are these scenes where it's just one is like a mermaid who is barely a mermaid. Like her fish tail is like only 25% of her body. The rest is just nothing but nudity. But I mean, like her breasts are covered, so you don't see nips or anything like that. And then there's another one with this. I want to say she's like a nun. She's fully clothed. She's fully armored. But in one hand, she's got like a torch. And on one of her legs, she has like this beheaded dog's head biting her leg. But she's in this position that is clearly sexualized. And it didn't make me uncomfortable, but it was more just like, that's how she chose to lay there. Like,
is
while
that the
she's
one where it's
help?
Like full leg spread? Right, yes. Across this. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, no, it's just, it was really like, why did you choose to lay like that? You know, of course, why did the artist decide to depict her like that? But so there are scenes that can make some people uncomfortable. And so I get that. But I don't think that it's on the scale that a lot of people are taking it to. And I feel like that's the most that game has going against it right now, is that there's
definitely
a sexist feminist thing. And no one's really talking about the game itself as far as the gameplay or anything. Because it's doing some really cool stuff, but no one cares because it's sexist. And it's like, that's not fair. That's so not fair.
Yeah.
I feel like some of the controversy around it is also because of the way they're handling it. Like, they're not handling the criticism the artist isn't as well as he could be. Like, for there's one guy, I think it was somebody on Polygon, that complained about the sorcerers and the Amazon, and he replied by sending him artwork of three naked dwarves, like the warrior or whatever.
Oh, I remember
like,
that.
Intimate. And it's like, guy doesn't like the sorceress. What a queer, am I right? Oh, God.
Probably a bad way to go. Mm-hmm. You know, don't advocate doing it that way.
Definitely not.
But I mean, what are they supposed to do? Install a patch that changes all that? The game was 2 years in development. You know, they can't scrap all of that because
absolutely.
It might offend someone. That's just, I mean, that's art.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this, where I was hearing it surrounded around, and which Nick wrote about on our site, was Danielle, what's her last name?
Starts with an R.
Danielle starts with an R's last name. Polygon. her Dragon's Crown review talked not a lot, but it was like like a full paragraph about the depictions of women in Dragon's Crown, and then the review ended up giving the game, geez, what was it, like a 6.5 or something like that?
Yeah, 6.5.
There's her last name. That's why I don't remember it. It's like Riendo?
Rindau. Sorry, Miss Danielle.
I'm very sorry, but you're probably not listening to our little podcast. Anyway, and so I think people were reading that and thinking like, even though it says in like her little wrap-up summary, like, these are the reasons why, like, I didn't like this game as much as everybody else did. People were kind of jumping to conclusions like, oh, there's a woman writing this review. She saw some boobs and got really mad. And that she docked the game like 4 points because of that. And I don't know. For one, I don't think that's what she was saying. I think she had some other problems with the review, with the game. And I mean, a review is just like an opinion. So like, I kind of just see it as like, if you don't like the art style, like, that's one thing. Like, I can see it following into there, because it is like the kind of like watercolor hand drawn thing is kind of like it seems like it could be kind of polarizing, because it's very, it is different, and so I can see why some people just wouldn't like that art style in general, like everything being exaggerated and stuff. So I don't know where I was going with this, but
yeah, art style is a very big part of a game.
Yeah.
Forget about all that art style stuff. The game itself is good. Like, what was that game that came out that the guys that did Ratchet and Clank did? It was so boring. Fuse. Yeah. That was the most boring looking game.
It looked very generic.
And like, the art style in that was just like dudes with guns. Like, and as a result, it's pretty much already gone. Like, it's already kind of faded away. Because of its boring art style. And
which sucks, because when that Crown game was first announced, that looked amazing. Fuse looked really cool. It was that over-exaggerated style, and it looked very cartoony, almost like Pixar. And I was like, I'm down for this. And then they completely scrapped it and changed it. And I was like, no, I don't want this. I want what you had.
And Dragon's Crown is kind of on the other end of the spectrum, where it's like, it's so just ridiculous that everyone's like, I can't handle all this stuff going on with all these people and all of the...
Now she, I'm gonna read her her wrap up real quick. If you don't mind,
go for it.
Dragon's Crown makes a strong first impression. It's a fun mix of RPG tropes and dynamic brawler action, but I found its over exaggerated art style alienating and gross in its depiction of women, even as it shines in building a world of fantastic monsters and environments. Jeez, that's a long run-on sentence, Danielle. and the forced grind through the same stages dulled my excitement. Dragon's Crown is a wild place to visit, but it doesn't quite hold up in the light of day. I don't see how anyone can take what she said out of context or get confused or jump to conclusions. She says exactly what she means to say in that paragraph alone. I don't get why people jumped on that. It just doesn't make sense to me. She clearly stated she just did not like the art style, and she wasn't a big fan of how they depicted women. That's it.
Right. And I mean, if you're not somebody that lives by review scores, that like cannot separate yourself from that, like if you actually read the review and you see that and you're like, oh, she doesn't like the art style, but I do, then I'm probably going to like this game. Like that's all you have to think. And then it's like, okay, get your I'm going to kill you comments out of your fingers.
Yep.
Go buy the game.
No, you're not like things I like.
Yeah. How dare you. And it was that, geez, I can't even remember now because I'm a bad executive editor. But was that kind of Nick's core topic in his article of just like quit freaking out about stuff?
Yeah.
Like there's just like a larger issue here of people freaking out. I think his thing was more on like review scores, because he's always back on that review scores. He really doesn't like him some review scores. but yeah, I think that's kind of what he was getting at. Like, because everyone was just jumping to the review score and saying like, wow, this game didn't score amazingly from one person. We have to find the one reason why she must have done that. And
well, I feel like a lot of people, they don't actually read the reviews. They go immediately to the score and then they just read the bullet points. And it's like, well, no, that's... Right. I mean, if you don't have a lot of time, you shouldn't be reading a review and just getting the bullet points anyway. But you need to read the entire thing to get why those bullet points are there. Right. Otherwise, you're going off just nothing. And you're then developing your opinion off nothing. And it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I don't get it. I feel like there's so much of this, like, jump to conclusions, freak out, knee-jerk reaction culture on the internet. And I don't know anybody that does it. So I've never been able to like talk to someone to just be like, what is your mentality here? What were you thinking? Because I don't know anybody that does it. Like,
We're friends with smart people.
Well, that's the beauty of like internet. It's that anonymity. You can say whatever you want and you can hide behind it. And Twitter, as fast as those feeds are updating, are easily like anything you say is easily buried. So unless someone favorites it or is going to scour through your stuff, it's hard to really hold on to a lot of those opinions. And that's not really good. And I feel the whole knee-jerk reaction, it happens a lot. Like even today, I don't want to date this too bad, but they just announced the new Doctor Who, and I don't give a shit about Doctor Who, but apparently everyone else on Twitter does.
Yep,
and Tumblr and everything. But I saw, and maybe it's being facetious, maybe it's legitimate, I don't know, but they announced it was an old white guy, and everyone on Twitter is saying, of course it's an old white guy, why can't they do anything different? And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, you're really that upset that why do you have to find something wrong with everything? Just let people enjoy what they want, and that's it. That's it. You don't have to be the guy holding the picket sign that no one gives a shit about. Just let it fucking go.
This idea that it personally offends you if somebody else doesn't like the thing that you like is just weird to me.
Yeah.
Why do you care? If you can enjoy a thing, like, why?
Your opinion's different than mine. I don't like you. That's nonsense. That's absurd. That's just so silly.
Why can't we all be friends?
Why can't we all be friends? That's how we should just end this argument. Everybody try to be friends. Understand that Dragon's Crown's pretty good.
Yeah.
If you watch how the game plays and you're like, I like games that play like that,
you'll probably like the game.
If you're really offended by how the women are depicted in it,
Don't support
the game. You're going to vote with your wallet, and you're going to do way more than you would tweeting at the developers saying, I'm going to kill you tonight.
Yes. So, don't be a Phil Fish.
Oh.
Be a human being.
Be a human being.
If Phil ends up getting his hands on this one and it makes him sad, I'm going to be pretty...
He's quit the industry. He's
right.
He won't care.
He's nice.
Besides, his last name's Fish. I don't think he's actually human.
Oh,
so.
Yeah?
What if he is? What if he's been just a fish this entire time?
A fish. A fish living inside.
I mean, that's amazing. That guy created a video game. Good job, Fish.
Yeah.
That's why it took 6 years.
Yay, evolution.
He has little fins. He can't type very well.
Just real quick, I want to touch on this just so we can kind of close her out on something kind of happier. I was kind of interested to hear about what your guys' games of the year, maybe like top few games of the year were so far. Because we've had a big year as people have been trying to get all their games out before this generational jump. Yeah. And because Nick hates review scores, I've gone to Metacritic to look up the top games that have come out this year just so we can think of some. In case things didn't immediately jump to mind, because man, I had forgotten how many great games had come out this year.
Oh yeah,
I need to like look over what I've played and.
I know, man. It's
there's a lot.
Yeah, so there's so much stuff, and I mean, there's definitely a big difference between what's going to be game of the year and what's my favorite game.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like game of the year should be a personal thing, like kind of like. What am I trying to... Like what Giant Bomb did, where every single person had their own Game of the Year list that they did in 2012.
Yeah, I don't...
And just, it was also random, like, their indie games and just whatever. Like, I like that kind of Game of the Year, not like a...
Right. And Giant Bomb, actually, I really like how they do their Game of the Year, like, their site Game of the Year stuff. I don't know if you're into that, but I listen to podcasts like crazy. And actually, on their Giant Bombcast, their amazing podcast... it's super long. It's like a 3-hour thing every week. And during their Game of the Year discussions, it's like every day they go through a couple categories and they're like, all right, we're going to do like RPG Game of the Year or whatever. And then they list a few RPGs and they're like, they just end up talking it through. And for like as long as it takes them, they talk through and argue with each other. Like, no, I think Mass Effect 3 should beat Game 2 as RPG of the Year or whatever. And they're like, well, I don't think so. And then like, just kind of depending on how hard people are willing to fight for games, like that's how they end up with their site's Game of the Year. And it's all done like on this podcast. You can listen to it. It's amazing. I love how they do it.
I like a lot of what Giant, like I'm not a consistent viewer of the website or the podcast, but a lot, like their quick looks That is an inspiration to me. I've been wanting to do something like that for years.
It's so cool. If we were all so living cool. in the same city, I would totally want to do that.
Yeah. No, if there was some sort of office thing, I would just do nothing but Quick Looks all day, because that's just so fun to me.
Right.
Just every game.
They're just not just to like me, but like it seems like I mean, when Ryan Davis passed away, you know, recently, I mean, like you just saw this outpour from a community that like from people you rarely see talk about Giant Bomb or just like, you know, Giant Bomb's a huge inspiration. And that's amazing. Like this relatively new site has all this community based around it. It's so great.
And coming off of the internet being evil, I didn't see a single negative comment about Ryan Davis when he.
That guy was one of the nicest people like ever. Like, who would have anything bad to say about him?
He's a legend.
I think they talked about it on their podcast. The day after they announced it or whatever. They said we had to ban one person through the whole thing.
Oh my gosh, it's the outpouring was. I was. Very few times when I'm like, way to go, internet. I feel good to be a part of you. And that was definitely one of them. But I don't really want to go down that road right now, because when I first heard that, man, I got close to being full teary-eyed. That was a poor thing. So I guess we can focus on the positives.
Yeah.
Great games, great experiences we've had this year that don't involve death. Well, in gaming.
Well, a lot of them.
Not real life death, I guess.
All video games involve some sort of death. How did this happen?
Oh, no. No.
What have we done with our industry?
So, I think it's funny on Metacritic, since they split stuff up, Last of Us is number one right now. And I can totally see that coming in as a game of the year.
I mean, it's easily going to be BioShock, Grand Theft Auto, and Last of Us are going to be the big three. Fighting by the end of the year for game of the year.
But there's also some things that might turn out to be really good, like God, what is that game made by the Heavy Rain guys?
Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, that might turn out to be really good. I mean, I wouldn't say Heavy Rain's game of the year material or anything, but might be super good. And there's some other games coming out that I totally forget.
Super Mario 3D World, that could be incredible. Like, there's so many things coming that could be. I mean, Saints Row 4, we were just talking about that.
I would love to see Super Mario 3D World beat The Last of Us for Game of the Year somewhere.
Interesting enough.
Some sort
enough.
Of insanity.
I was listening to Weekend Confirmed, which is a podcast for Shaq News, which is, like a Gamefly's press side. Thing, and Jeff Cannata on there said he was playing a lot of Rogue Legacy lately, which we have a review up on our site if you want to check it out. And I think he said he would take Gunpoint, Rogue Legacy, and Monaco as games of the year over BioShock Infinite, Last of Us, and I think Tomb Raider is the other one he really liked. He's like, I just want these indie games all the time to win game of the year. Because he's just like he's like, and the way he put it was like, these games, because they're smaller, they're really good at one thing, and they do it well, and they do it well the whole time. And in his comparison, he was saying like, I really love The Last of Us, really love BioShock Infinite, but there's something that I can talk about in each of those games that isn't that great. Like, there's a complaint you can bring up in BioShock Infinite. Probably everyone can. Like I said, I don't like the combat very much.
Yeah.
The reason I'm not playing Last of Us is because I hate stealth and trial and error gameplay. And so, like, that's probably something I wouldn't like about it. Whereas something smaller there, they can just, like, focus. So, I don't know. How do you guys feel about, like, indies with Game of the Year? Like, should they be in the same category as everything?
Walking
else?
Dead, I mean, kind of took a lot of Game of the Year editions or Game of the Year awards last year, and that was... relatively indie.
Yeah.
Well, relatively.
Activision or EA or anything, but...
Well, I think Telltale...
I mean, it didn't take a big budget. I mean, I think what Jeff's big argument is, you don't need big budget to make a great game. You can make something that's going to be lasting forever and fun to play and make it $5 and it can be a very enjoyable game of the year game. You don't need a $100 million budget. And I absolutely could see that argument. Unfortunately, the main sites, IGN, GameSpot, Game Trailers, they're going to go with the bigger moniker games. And because, I mean, that's what those devs want. They want those Game of the Year awards to slap on their box and to praise and put in all the ads. And that's what they want. And that's what they're going to get. I'm not going to say they're going to pay for it. I'm not saying that there's some sort of bias. But
yeah, that is...
to spread publicity, you're going to put it on a game that's going to get a lot of publicity. So,
but it is it's got to be a tough task. I mean, I've heard how they do this in-house of like, hey, we have this tentative list of what could be Game of the Year. Everyone in the office has to play at least a couple hours of every single one of these games so we can vote. Like,
no, that's totally that's fair.
That's insane. And like, I feel like a lot of things that come out in the earlier of the year are totally just like forgotten because it's like, mm-hmm. well, I played that like 9 months ago. That's out of mind, out of sight.
Yeah.
Like Ni No Kuni, like when that was
the game that came out this year.
I was hearing so much like this is going to be Game of the Year. I think Colin Moriarty over at IGN was saying like this is like my Game of the Year, and he was saying that like through Bioshock Infinite. He was saying at least up to Last of Us, he was saying like this is my Game of the Year. Like this is just like the best. But now that Last of Us came out, he's like, oh, Last of Us, and I don't hear anyone talk about Ni No Kuni anymore.
Right.
And
No, I mean that's Tomb Raider. People are saying it might be Game of the Year, and it's like, well, Tomb Raider's come out now, Bioshock's out, and Last of Us. You don't hear people talk about Tomb Raider anymore. So it's like, I mean, that was like a basis of the article I had written for you guys maybe a month or two. Is like the Game of the Year word or that phrase gets thrown around way too much. And it's applied to everything when it's new and fresh, and then 2 weeks later, no one's talking about it anymore. And that's the problem, is we don't need to immediately claim this is a Game of the Year for game until we've compared it to everything. Just wait till the end of the year, and then make your comparison. Otherwise, it's just you're going to be saying that a lot all year long. Like, say this is Game of the Year contender. Do not say this is Game of the Year, because saying this is Game of the Year is definite. Saying Game of the Year contender, that's an indefinite idea. So it's like you're open that you can change your mind. Saying this is Game of the Year, you can't. You're kind of locked in. This is concrete, 100% done. Like, no, you can't. You cannot do that if you want me to take you seriously. So let's less it down. I don't think that's a correct way to say that. Let's stop being so decisive immediately without factoring in everything.
And I feel like these
the game comes out, everyone's excited, and then a couple months later you're like, oh, okay, well there was this.
I got nothing against hype. Hype's awesome. That helps spread the word. That's totally fine. Don't hype it on a level that it hasn't necessarily attained just yet, because Game of the Year is a game that it signifies a game that you can play all the time, that you will be playing all year long. And then no one's playing Tomb Raider anymore. No one's playing Bioshock anymore until the DLC came out. Anyone that's played Last of Us that's not playing the multiplayer, they're not going to touch it again until the DLC comes out. And I don't think that's a good Game of the Year contender if you're not playing it throughout the entire year.
Yeah, and I feel like indies even get like a shorter end of the stick on that a lot of times, because, you know, oftentimes they're shorter. So, like, Guacamelee, people love Guacamelee, but you play through Guacamelee in like 5 hours, 6 hours, and then it's like, well, Guacamelee is out of my mind because I only spent a few hours with it. Or something even shorter, like, I mean, Journey swept last year, but like, I thought Unfinished Swan was amazing too, but that game was over in like an hour and a half or something, and then it was like, okay, we forgot about Unfinished Swan. But I was gonna say something else too. Anyway, so personally though, if we can jump from this, and I feel like overall games of the year for sites, there's so many sites shooting out Game of the Year things that I feel like it doesn't hold nearly as much weight as like movies do, where they have like Academy Awards. This is the central thing that everyone's going to look at and say that. But even, I guess,
like what is video games? The Spike TV
Spike
video
game
awards.
Call of Duty, take it home.
Call of Duty, best PC game. Call of Duty, best RPG. Call of Duty,
best
racing
sports
game.
Everybody
Call of Duty. Look under your seats.
Best sandbox game. Madden 2015.
I gotta say that.
You're saying in this game. Look over there. Sandbox. Number one. John Madden.
Okay, I totally would have agreed with you guys like 2 years ago. But I gotta say, the VGAs, for someone that's watched them in the last few years, they've been getting better. I think they gave like either Journey or Walking Dead won it last year at there. And that's crazy for something that's on cable. That's wild. But
I don't like their presentation. It's just, one, it's on Spike. I fucking hate
that's
that.
That's just
that
the
network.
Worst man channel.
That's where the feminists can get offended. By all means, if you want to get offended, watch Spike. You'll be offended in 5 minutes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I watched one year, God, and they had freaking Milkshake song like years ago. They were performing that live at the Video Game Awards. Yeah. Why? I don't know. It's Spike TV. Who gives
a
shit?
We can do whatever we want with Spike. Who gives a shit? It's like, no, you can't be like that.
Stay tuned for 6 hours of World's Wildest Police Video.
Wild. Oh, man. No, last year, I think they had, like, Pitbull or something. But it was really weird because I think he was, like, playing to the audience when there was commercials. So, like, as the commercial break would start, they'd just, like, show Pitbull, like, up in a balcony and then, like, fade out to commercial. And I'm like, well, why did they do that? Why'd they show 10 seconds of Pitbull?
They paid that guy $1 million to entertain me for 10 seconds. Uh-oh. Good job, Spike.
Oh, crazy.
And here's the problem. I love Jeff Keighley. I love him. Mm-hmm. But his involvement in the Spike Video Game Awards, I should say, just... it makes me hate him just a little bit.
He seems like an advertising kind
of... He does. Like, he seems like
the next revolutionary title in the Call of Duty series.
Anytime there's anything on Spike involving video games, you bet your ass Jeff Keighley's going to be there selling the shit out of it.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. That's how he's made his name. Fantastic.
Yeah, but, yeah. I've very rarely heard Jeff Keighley say overly negative things about anything.
Yeah, no, it's always been like... He's the back of the box kind of guy.
Yeah,
you can put whatever he says about your game on a box.
He's the Peter Travers of the video game industry. If you don't know who Peter Travers is, he's the Rolling Stone guy. He's the guy's blurbs you see all the time on movies when they come out.
Right.
That's what Jeff Keighley is for us. Thanks, Jeff.
Feel good movie of the
summer. But he does do some good work for sure though. Like I don't know if you guys ever have done like any of his final hours stuff, like his final hours of Porter 2, that's some awesome stuff where he like went to Valve and like checked out every single thing that went into like the development of this and stuff. So he's a pretty hardworking dude, but yeah, I can totally see there. If you only get one side of like the story every single time, that's kind of, I don't know.
Right. I mean, that's unfair. And again, I think Jeff Keighley is fantastic. Just when he's doing his whore self to the Spike stuff, the E3 stuff, like it's just
Mountain Dewing Doritos.
Yeah, like I don't care for that. Just do the journalism aspect.
I love that picture though.
It's,
he is begging for death. That's what
face says to me. Begging for death.
Please kill me.
Oh man, so we've talked about what Jeff Keighley now. We've talked about Spike.
We dropped a little bit of Phil Fish in there.
Yeah, have to.
We are just every week, weekly
Phil Fish coverage at Gamers Association.
Only a game plan, you're going to get Cameron Portland updates.
Yeah.
A Phil Fish reference, no matter what. Stay tuned. What else are we going to do?
That's why people listen. They want to know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
Then eventually send a question.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to lay down the law right now before we move close to the end of this thing. Games of the year. We're going to pick one. What is your game of the year so far this year? Your most favorite thing that has come out this year?
Bioshock Infinite.
Infinite?
Yep.
No.
I want to say Ni No Kuni. And it'd be too long-winded to say it now, but I could make an argument as to why that could be my personal game of the year.
Okay. Yeah. I've definitely heard many arguments.
Yeah, you should finally get around to playing that game.
It's still $20 somewhere, too.
I'm this close. Like, you can't see my fingers, but just know that they're very, very, very close together. I'm this close to actually just sending you my copy so you will play it. To save you $20 and to just experience one of the best games of this year. Probably one of the best JRPGs of this generation.
It will happen.
No, it won't.
Damn it. Okay, this is... Okay, so I was going to buy a video game this week. Like, I had it in my mind. Like, something that wasn't Morrowind, you know, something recent. I spent a decent amount. But this is a really weird tangent. I ran over my coworker's cooler with the work truck, and so I had to buy him a new one, and that set me back, like, $30. So, whoops. So that's why I'm not buying Ni No Kuni right now.
Yeah, likely story.
Yeah.
I heard you placed the cooler under your tire and said, fuck you, Ni No Kuni, I'm going to run
this cooler. The cooler was, in fact, full of copies of Ni No Kuni.
Oh, and he spat on them.
I've just got you in mind. Just, oh, that is...
Just standing over all the snapped discs in the rain.
It makes no sense. Oh, there's no reason to be that mad at that game. It's so adorable.
It breaks my heart.
Stupid Scottish lima bean.
God, I hate that guy, though. I feel like I would learn to love him when I played the game, but that I hate that accent. I just hate it. But anyway.
He grows on you.
Oh, he totally does. I haven't even played it, and he already grew on me.
I think I might. If I feel like if I've played Animal Crossing, I would have dumped so many hours in Animal Crossing that I would say Animal Crossing, but I haven't. So probably going to have to say BioShock Infinite as well. As much as I liked, even Walking Dead 400 Days, I liked a lot, but probably going to have to go BioShock Infinite on this one. Huh. Yeah, that's probably where I'm sitting right now. But we're at about an hour, over an hour now. Wrap her up, probably. Yeah.
Let's go 3 hours.
Yeah, dude, how do they do it?
Let's rival that Bombcast. We just need to talk about it.
And they're so damn interesting all the time. You've done a 3-hour podcast?
Yeah, unfortunately.
What did you talk about?
Nothing. There's nothing you could talk about for 3 hours that's not Game of the Year stuff.
Oh my God.
One, you hate everyone that you're talking to after 3 hours. You hate them after 2 hours, much less 3 hours. And it's just, it's nonsense. It's just rambling. And that was cut down. That was cut down from 4 hours. 4 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. What do you guys think of spicy sweet chili Doritos?
That's just where it goes. Just what do you guys think about this?
It's just tangent after tangent after tangent.
Man, but I don't know how the giant bomb dude stays so interesting. Like, I don't care at all.
They don't
about
talk
Dota.
About video games, is and, why.
No, but even when, like, Brad is crazy into Dota, and every time Nick tries to talk to me about Dota, I just kind of glaze look over my eyes and pretend like I didn't see the text because I don't want to talk about Dota. But I listen to, like, Brad talk about Dota on Giant Bombcast, and man, I'm like, yeah, I'm interested for a half hour as you talk about Dota.
It sounds even more terrifying.
Well, I think it helps to have personality with whomever you're talking to. So it's like...
Not to say Nick Kane doesn't have personality. I'll say it. I'm getting most
If Luke won't say it, I'll say it. I don't believe it. I'm just saying.
I get Dota information from Nick while he's at work, and he sends me, like, texts, and I'm like, I can't feel the Nick through this text unless he's calling me something weird. But
so Nick, here's what you got to do. You just now have to act like Brad Shoemaker, and then Luke will give a shit. So.
We'll just all be parodies of Giant Bomb people.
Nick, I love you so much. Please don't think I'm being mean. I just don't care about Dota yet.
One day I might.
I keep telling him one day. I downloaded it for him once, and I took a picture and sent it to him just so I could show that I did it, but I still haven't opened it.
That's progress.
Yeah,
I played half a match once. I turned on and it was against bots, and they're all on harmless mode.
Oh my gosh!
I killed a guy once.
Nice.
not even in Dota, just in real life. I just thought I'd tell you guys.
Confession.
I actually just applied for a job at Riot Games, so maybe I could start working on League of Legends, and maybe he'd get really mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Is that like a rivalry? The low people not like the Dota people and the Dota people.
Oh, totally. The Dota kids feel like they're way more hardcore than the League of Legends kids.
Oh my god, totally. Nerds, no one cares.
They're just like, no, League of Legends is like casual. Dota's hard, Dota's difficult. You gotta work your ass off to be good at Dota, not like that League of Legends.
Talk to me when you play Madden, nerds.
All right, so
dude, NCAA football is so much better than Madden. Get out of my face.
Are you kidding me? Does NCAA have John Madden going boom?
NCAA,
I don't think so.
I will mid lane NCAA.
Really? No way can people do that. They're both made by EA. Aren't they like the same game? I don't understand.
How dare you? How dare you?
the guys that make NCAA have been around for 100 years.
That's actually probably true.
This is ridiculous.
dumb. Please stop it.
We can throw this baby together at the end with our old staple of Fran. Don't throw the baby. There's a podcast name right there.
For the baby cast.
Yep.
You guys want to rant or recommend at all? You guys, I guess we ranted about Dragon's Crown like crazy. So guys, don't be idiots on the internet. Read reviews. There's something you could talk about. Something I wanted to recommend to people because I'd heard about it a couple weeks ago, but I just watched it today. Some people made a Last of Us fan film, and I thought it was awesome.
Really?
Usually, I think fan films are really cheesy, and like I can't get over how bad the acting and the effects are. But If you just Google, like, Last of Us fan film Indiegogo, actually, because after they made that, they want to make it into something bigger. And I think it's like the original is linked there. It's like 13 minutes long. And I thought it was really good for just like a small little indie project. So go check that out and maybe give them some cash. They got like 20 days to reach, like, I think they still need like $8,500 or something like that. Oof. Yeah, yep. It's scary. That's a lot of money. But
can I pay them in copies of Ni No Kuni?
Let me have to run over them.
Oh, I'm sure they'd really appreciate it.
Dory, send these to GameStop. I'll give you like $10 each. All good. Maybe.
So check out that. Anything you guys want people to check out?
Neverwinter.
Neverwinter?
Yeah.
Is that a new
MMO that came out a couple months ago? It's actually really cool.
I heard they're already at like 2 million people. That's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Is this a tie-in to the Neverwinter Night stuff, or is this completely separate?
No, it's Dungeons and Dragons Neverwinter. I have no idea the complex directions of Dungeons and Dragons and all of these other things, but the name of the game is Dungeons and Dragons Neverwinter. It's an MMO, and it's kind of like you have to like aim, which is cool. It's a lot different than World of Warcraft. It's kind of got a Terra-ish thing going on there, and very, very fun. Everything's difficult. You don't have to get to the max level before things start getting challenging, so that's really refreshing. And if you're into MMOs, absolutely go play Neverwinter.
Is that a free-to-play joint?
Yeah.
Yes, it's free. It's absolutely free. I forgot about that part. That's a big one.
Right.
Like that should be a huge selling point.
It's huge thing. You don't even have to pay anything. It's free.
Nice.
And they've got the most addictive kind of cash thing where you pick up chests and you have to buy the key. And it's like, oh, God, there's probably so much nice stuff in here.
That's the Dota model.
And they're doing Guild Wars, too. And it's like, God, it is such an... That is the only way that I'll spend money on a free-to-play game is when they give me the item and be like, well, you want it?
Nah, dude, Borderlands 2 is doing that for me. They're like, oh, look at these cool skins you have for the Necromancer. I'm like, damn it. Damn it.
I think my problem is I never played Borderlands 2 with other people, so I don't care about my skins.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like, whatever.
I'm never going to see my body, so why do I care what it looks like?
Ah, I guess I didn't think about that.
Story of my life.
Just like real life.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad.
God, I'm just Doritos bounce all over me.
I'm gonna break all my mirrors. I don't want to be seen like this.
My neck beard is growing into my chest hair. God.
That's just a mess. I kind of feel sorry for you.
I don't have a neck beard, I lied. I can't even grow any other kind of beard.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah. None of us on this podcast can grow beards?
No, dude. Like, this is beardless podcast.
Dude, wow. Beardless podcast. Crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
I don't know. My dad can do it. My brother can do it.
My dad.
I can't do it.
Here's the thing that I found on the internet once, and this is the excuse that I use why I can't grow a beard. Beard growth is related to testosterone. And testosterone production is related to
enough men.
Eating fatty foods. And I don't eat very many fatty foods, like, whatsoever. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's why I can't...
I've got DeVito's right here. I should have all the beard.
I should have all the beard of all the stuff that I eat.
Dang it, so it must not be true, because you guys are having the same problem. All right, if anybody wants to donate to our Kickstarter, we'll research why we cannot grow beards.
Yeah.
We'll get that link in the show notes.
Yeah.
We don't get in enough fist fights, so we're not manly.
Yeah.
So we don't grow beards.
That line about not having a lot of testosterone, that does kind of bum me out, because I'm by no means like wimpy, but I'm not the most like manly guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty wimpy, so I totally believe that.
I could totally buy that if someone told me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I know,
thanks
right?
Thanks for the depressing idea.
This is how podcasts go on for 3 hours.
Who needs testosterone?
It ends in tears.
Now we are that guy.
God.
We're that guy of like, doesn't
I'm sorry, Mom.
Weird. We should probably roll out.
Yes.
God.
Thank you for listening to the game plan, where we told you not to kill babies, where we told you to run over copies of Ni No Kuni for some reason.
Yep. Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
So thank you guys.
What else are you going to do with them? Play them?
play video games that use series since 2013.
I'll just wait for the Hollywood version.
We complain about them. We don't play them.
We'll wait for the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. If anybody ever used that excuse on a game,
I would slap them in the mouth.
I'll wait for the movie.
I'll wait for the movie.
God, can you imagine if there's like, all right, so let's just use Last of Us as an example. Last of Us, right? It gets a Hollywood adaptation. There we go. Adaptation. And then when the Game of the Year edition of Last of Us comes out, they slap a sticker on front that says, now soon to be a motion picture. You know how mad that would make me?
The movie tie-in version of the game.
Dude, I'd be so pissed.
The Last of Us, the game, the movie, the game.
Yeah. I would quit video games. I'd be like, I'm out. Nope.
Where they just replaced Joel with Matt Damon.
Yep. Yeah. That's a fitting role.
Yeah, absolutely. Viggo replaced Mortensen. All the characters with Matt Damon, actually. Why not?
Viggo Mortensen in The Road could totally do a good Joel.
Yeah.
The Road is basically The Last of Us. Why do we need a Last of Us film?
We probably don't, but still.
Why we need a Road game.
After saying, why do we need a Last of Us film, please donate to these guys Indiegogo for a Last of Us fan film.
Why do we even need you? But here's some money anyway.
No. Short films, okay. Hollywood big budget nonsense. No, that's not.
The Last of Us game, the audition soon to be a short film.
Yes. Yeah. See, that's a sticker I'll tolerate. As long as I can, like, remove it from the case.
And throw it away.
My hands
are sticky. And this is we're still podcasting, I think.
I know. I'm trying to stop. I'm sorry.
Right. I'm Luke A. Frazier on Twitter. Cameron is Cameron Westman on Twitter.
Twitter.
Curtis Stone is not.
At I'm not.
CABU_SAN.
Don't Google my name because I'm not the Australian chef. Sorry.
Dude, I tried to Google your thing and try to find out which anime you're from. Couldn't figure it out whatsoever. I felt
Well, keep looking. It's out there.
I'll have to. So thank you for listening to us talk about really random things today.
Sorry.
Another lively episode of this podcast. Next week, we'll probably miss the Portland watch because Cameron will not be here because he will be in Portland.
I might make it work. I don't know. We'll see.
We need on-the-site updates, no matter how you get them to us.
I'll post an article every day. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Portland Watch. Camp day Club. 7.
I'll review the Ground Control Arcade in Portland, Oregon. I'm going there. How about that?
Sweet. Write something up. Why not?
Yeah. Right? Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
I'm sure there's people in Portland that don't know about that.
Awesome. Well, people out there, thank you for listening to our hour plus of random babble. You can go to gamers-association.com, check out stuff that we like to write about. Who knows what'll be up there soon. I don't know if you guys have any things going up soon, but I don't know.
I might be tease.
Okay. I don't know. Okay.
You can I don't even know. I was actually listening. What are we?
Send us questions and topics and all that stuff that you probably won't. Over at Gamers ASSN on Twitter or on Facebook or on the comment section or on emails at staff@gamers-association.com. But you probably won't because nobody wants our free stuff.
I still got this Killing Floor DLC signed. Right. It's just sitting here.
That's why we end up talking about Cameron moving and me running over a cooler and whatever pointless stuff we else talked about.
If you send in a question, I'll run over a copy of Ni No Kuni for you.
Yeah.
Man, no.
I'll send him my copy.
I'll write your name on it and then run it over.
Yeah.
Is there an expiration date? Like, they have to do it by next week?
I have to do it within the next 15 minutes.
Okay. And this podcast will probably go up in, like,
15 minutes after the podcast goes up.
Okay.
And it's an hour and 20 minutes, so they're not even going
to... They would have to know to scrub through.
They would have to skip to 1 minute, 1 hour and 5 minutes in.
Someone's going to make it happen. It's going to be so terrible.
Good luck, loser.
I'm going to have to go out and buy a copy of Ni No Kuni and run it over with a car.
Yeah, good luck, loser.
I will stick to it, by the way. If someone that isn't one of you two or someone else on the site posts to have their name written on a copy of Ni No Kuni... Because I'm like, I know Luke would probably just tell Nick or something. And Nick would.
Dedication. That's what that is. Dedication to the industry. He will run over an awesome video game for a podcast.
I don't even have a driver's license and I'll do it.
He's going to do something illegal.
Time out.
For entertainment purposes.
You're 19? You don't have a driver's license? What's going on?
I'll do three lines of cocaine and kick a baby.
Wait a minute. Why don't you have a driver's license? Baby. I'm so confused. How have we talked about this?
I imagine you live in like a city where driving's not necessary.
Yeah, it's not necessary. There's buses block away from my house, so I just take the bus.
Everything makes sense now. Okay, yeah. Okay. Well, now that we've settled down, I think this is
nonsense. Not all of us live in that, you know, West nonsense towns where...
Dude, Minneapolis St. Paul's pretty big.
Is it?
Yeah. How big are we? A few million in this business?
Good Lord.
Yeah, but I mean, it's nothing to write home about after you go to big cities. Whatever. I don't like the Midwest. Let's get me out. Anyway, goodbye, everybody. What's going on?
I could just keep going forever. Bye. Yeah,
probably.
Toodaloo.
Should we go for 3 hours?
No. Yeah, let's go.
I'm out.
I'm out. Bye.
Horns.